Get soft if you wanna get soft with it.
Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel we need to touch somebody, touch somebody.
Hello, softies, and welcome to another edition of Emotional Hangs. This is, once again, Kurt and Joe Get Soft as Pen Pals, Volume 2. These will be ongoing audio letters between Kurt and myself. Hopefully you enjoyed last week's ep and the first two letters, and here come the second two, which will build on the previous two, because that's how pen palling works. So on the count of three, one, two, three, let's get soft. Hi, Kurt. I'm in my apartment right now. I have a couple things going on. The dishwasher is running. Hopefully it's not too loud. There's a steak cooking in the oven. Not for me, but so I can cut it up and give it to my dog. And not because I have a princess dog or anything like that. He's just, he's got the shits. So I got to give him some kind of plain meat for dinner with nothing added to it at all. No seasoning or anything. And, it was chicken was the first thing, then steak, and I didn't have any chicken. So he's getting some steak. I'm gonna go to a steakhouse tonight for myself without the dog. A place called Damon's in Glendale. It's like a tiki bar steakhouse. Affordable and delicious. I'm a big fan of the place. I'm going with Mr. Patrick Walsh and our dear friend David Krumholtz, who you may know from Adam's Family Values fame, from Slums of Beverly Hills fame, from The Judge fame. And he's on Pat's new show, and we're going to go get dinner together, and it'll be nice. So it's a nice little Saturday. It's shaping up to be a nice Saturday. I look forward to having a few cocktails tonight, as I do, let's be honest, on most every night. But, you know, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the conversation. I'm looking forward to the bonding. David is a new friend. I haven't known him for very long, but we hit it off very well when we recently worked together, and we had a lot of common interests and things. And I feel like, strangely, in the absence of my dear friend, you, I'm getting to hang out with a new friend. So maybe this is a positive that comes from the negative. My pal's gone, but then it makes me hang out with a new pal. And you get to know the new pal a little bit. Then you come back, and then you know, you guys are jealous of each other, and you fight over me with switchblades, which makes me feel sexy. Let's get down to the meat of this thing. I have a lot to respond to in your letter, and I don't have a ton of time here. We're supposed to keep these things at about 20 minutes, which is the first thing I'd like to point out. Kurt's letter, I'd like all the listeners to realize, his letter was only 17 and a half minutes last week. Mine was about 22. So, you know, as usual, Kurt cut some corners, didn't give it his all. You know how he does it. I mean, you listen to the show every week. I don't need to tell you this. You hear it every week. Kurt, your letter was significantly shorter than mine, yet it felt like an eternity. You really concentrated a lot of information into that thing. That was a concentrated dose. And I did enjoy it very much. And I have all kinds of things to say in response to it. The first being you spoke of me forming a video game woman on my floor out of Super Nintendo cartridges. I'm not going to confirm or deny that. But the thing that first jumped out at me that I really wanted to talk about was, you said, you know, you're giving me grief about doubting your 12-hour work days, and you were like, yeah, man, like, you know how this goes. Like, you've done TV. You know how it goes on a set. And, Kurt, to that I say, you know what? I have done TV, but I've never had a servant job like you do. I am an actor. So I show up and they say, here's your trailer, Mr. DeRosa. Can we get you anything? There's a snack truck over there if you can't wait till dinner time. But we'll have dinner going soon. And if you need a, you know, something special, I'm sure we can send somebody here to get it for you. Oh, wait, maybe we can send that guy. Hey, big, tall, blonde-haired guy with the glasses. What's your name, Kemp? Craig? Oh, Kurt, yeah. Go get this guy a coffee. And you might as well get yourself one, too. You got a 12-hour day ahead of you. So, I don't know what to tell you. You know, some of us are walking on the clouds. It's not my fault you're down in the rain. by the way, you complaining for 5 minutes about having to go to a French street to get your signature tiny mints that you need. It was the most privileged thing I've ever heard a human being say. Like, you screaming about needing the tiny mints. I can't have the big one. I need the little ones. And then saying, and I have to go to Chateau Boucher to pick up my tiny mints that I ordered on the internet. Oh, my God. That was the most... There is, if Donald Trump has a diary, there is an entry in it where he describes that exact same experience. That really made me laugh. Let's get to the deeper stuff now. You talked about loneliness. Kurt, we are living similar lives. I'm lonely. You're lonely. The one thing that I realized when you said that on your letter was... you're lonely because you got a great job somewhere and you went off to do it and to make good money to provide for your family. You went to another country and lived in a beautiful city. And, you know, one of the, downsides of that was just being alone to do the gig, but it was for a good reason. And then my loneliness is just because I exist. This is just how I exist. So again, not going to confirm or deny the video game woman. What did you say her name was? Elsie? I can't remember. Siobhan? Yvonne? Yvette? Yvette, was it? I can't remember. Anyway, so I just kind of realized today, and this is a good thing. I'm not saying, oh, you said that and it made me sad. I'm like, I just got to keep moving. Got to keep at it. Got to keep getting out of the house, going, doing little things. Space the errands out. You know what I mean? Space the errands. Maybe you don't have to buy every Atari game you want today. Maybe you can save one or two for next week. Just keep getting out of that house, you know? I also, speaking of the loneliness thing, I'm coming to terms with the fact that I just might be a lifelong bachelor. I don't know. We've discussed this before, but I keep returning to it. I don't know. I don't know that I want to be married. I think I do. I don't know. I've talked about the platonic wife. I just, it's so confusing. All you want is to not get to the end of your life and go, shit, I fucked up. I did this wrong. If I knew that I would be content about the choice of bachelorhood for the rest of my life when I come to die eventually, I think I would do it, you know? It's either that or I just want to, I have no patience. I just want to inherit a family. I don't want to have to form one. That seems to be a very delicate and arduous process, potentially, you know? Could be a beautiful experience like it was for you. But it worries me that I might hit a lot of snags and things. I don't know. Here's my point. You're in Montreal. Your family, as you mentioned, they're right down the street from me, going to waste. got a perfectly good family down the street, already formed, going to waste. Give me your family. Can't I just go be you over there until you come home? You know, I won't sleep in the same bed as your wife or anything. There will be no, it'll be a friendship marriage in the house. But give me the, they're just sitting there. They're just sitting there. Why can't I have them? I'm joking, of course. And I feel the need to say I'm joking because I don't mean to refer to Kurt's family in any objectified way or make it sound like it would be solely his choice to gift them to me. Anyway, I have notes here because I wanted to make sure I didn't miss any part of the thing that you did that I wanted to respond to. And in my notes, it just says, give me your family, exclamation point. That's the bullet point for that one. I did talk about my life being like a McDonald's. Again, something you said, and you were, it was funny when you made fun of it, but there was an insightful thing there. I learned something from that. You said you see your life, the analogy of your life is you are running a McDonald's, which says a lot about you. And it does. There is an element of low self-esteem in there. Because I'm being serious now. I often relate to the idea of McDonald's. I'm like, everybody hates it, but I think it's wonderful. Do you know what I mean? I feel like that a lot. I feel like deep down I might be wonderful, but I think everybody hates me, you know? And I realized when I did the analogy, I didn't have the self-esteem to even go to Wendy's, Taco Bell, you know, one of your more condoned fast food establishments, approved of fast food establishments. I'm dead serious. This is so fascinating to me. So fascinating to me. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that. I really am. Before I forget, by the way, The thing you said about not having a job, speaking of having jobs and McDonald's, and you said at one point in your letter, you said, you know, I'm not used to having a job, and I'm sure a lot of people will hear me say that and tell me to go fuck myself because everybody has a job. You know what? No, I gave you a pass on that one. Nobody gets to say go fuck yourself because you don't have a job. I don't have a job. You know why you can't tell me to go fuck myself, everybody? Because I will surely be dying of cirrhosis of the liver or lung cancer or just a broken heart before any of you die from your traditional means of dying. So I'm gonna pay the price. We all pay in the end. Don't worry. It's coming back to get me. It's not like I just get to skate through this thing like fucking Ricky Schroeder or something. It's, you know, come on. It is, you know, this speaks to lifestyle choice and loneliness and all these other things. I watched the full Stranger Things season. Kurt, you said you didn't like it. I disagree. I thought it was fantastic. I actually think I might have liked it even a little bit more than the first one because I did enjoy that it was more of a character story versus just the adventure of it all. It was definitely the sort of Empire Strikes Back of Stranger Things. You had characters going on emotional journeys individually and the group was split apart and all that stuff, and I thought it was great, and the finale, I'm not going to spoil anything, but I was weeping almost uncontrollably through the last 10 minutes of the finale because it was so, this might be a spoiler, I'm just going to use an adjective here that might ruin it for you. It was so beautiful, and the level of innocence, and just remembering that time in your childhood, and what it meant to, like, this is a spoiler, to go to your first big dance, and, you know, have the defeat of the girls not wanting to dance with you, and then they'd show the other kid, and he's so excited that a girl wants to dance with him, and then, The other kid is excited because the girl he's in love with and has the huge crush on actually likes him too. And then Mike, the main kid, is excited because he's in love with Elle, and she shows up and he says, "You look beautiful." And I just remember that time of my life, you know, and I was weeping. I was like, I couldn't stop crying from the beauty of it. Now, I don't know, in all fairness, if I was crying at the beauty of the show or at the horror of my own life, like trying to, like watching that and then drawing my own parallels. Like, he's waiting for this girl that he's madly in love with to show up, you know, and it's going to be the most beautiful moment of his life. And then you hold a mirror up to my life, and it's like, well, what's Joe's moment? And it's me dozing off at a bar, screaming, "Why can't I have another shot?" You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I could have just been crying at my own situations. I don't know. But something's got to give there. That was almost a call to therapy. I was like, I shouldn't be crying like that. I mean, I'm glad that I still have the feelings in there, but not all dead inside yet. not yet. Getting close. Not yet. see, that would be... You did an impression of me on the last thing. It made me laugh really hard. What did you say? "Here's what I think is wrong with the world." Or no, wait. "Here's something I noticed that's wrong with the world." Or something like that. It was very funny. It was very, very funny. But I, you know. Well, I was going to say there are more shades to me. But are there? There really aren't. I'm glad to hear, buddy, that everything is going well for you up there. I really am. I know we do a lot of ball breaking on these things, but I always want to make a point to be sincere as well. I think it's going well for you, by the way that it sounds, and that makes me happy. That just makes me really happy. And I know you've told me in some phone conversations that you're getting along very well with the cast and everything up there, and I think that's very, very cool. Because, you know, we've all been in a bad gig with a writing thing, and it's, when it's bad, it is fucking brutal, you know? So it's nice. I'm glad it's going well, and put that anxiety out of your head of, you know, when you're like, the day is all anxiety, and they, you know, you're sitting, you wait and you wait and you wait, and then they're like, "We need you right now." It's like, just do your best, dude. That's all you can do. You do your best, you walk home, and you go, all right, that was the end of it. Hopefully they're happy. Can't do anything about it. I had jobs, dude, where I was like just killing myself. Like, I suck. I'm the worst. I'm a piece of shit. Like, they're going to fire me, this and that. And then, like, the job would end, and they wouldn't say anything to me, and I'd be like, see, I knew it. They're never going to hire me again. And then, like, they would, like, call me, like, 2 months later and be like, buddy, we miss you. We love you so much. Can you come in and do this other gig? And I was like, oh, okay. It's just the nature of that kind of gig. So don't let it get to you. Try to keep that in mind, and nothing will make or break you in this business. And very few things will make and break you or break you in this world. And it doesn't sound like you're up against either at this point. So just try to enjoy it, man. And a good news. Guess who's going to be in LA on Thanksgiving? I wasn't supposed to be, but I'm going to be. I decided to actually come home. I need to go to New York for a meeting, and then I'm going to fly right back. I'm not going to stay. So, and I'm not moving to New York, so relax. You know, look, I get these ideas. I entertain them. I think about them. Thank you that your reason for me not moving, though, by the way, was it'll be hard to do the podcast. Your heart's in the right place. I'm not going to, you know, look, at least not now. I'm not, you know, I'm not that self-destructive. So, you know, good things here, good people. Thanksgiving weekend, let's do some shit. Have fun up there. Enjoy yourself. I hope that you find more activities to fill up the seemingly one day off you get every week. And even if you just got to sleep, who cares? Just do it. Enjoy it. And I'm excited to see you whenever you return. I mean, I know it's not whenever, but soon. And, well, November, dude. I'll see you on Thanksgiving. All right, dude. See you, buddy.
Oh, welcome to the second part of Emotional Hangs. This is Kurt Brownoler. As you well know, hello, Joe. Got your letter, and let's get soft. Realized I don't have to count because I'm just alone. There's not another person. First off, great letter, Joe. I found it entertaining. I found it touching. I've got a lot of stuff to respond to you about. So let's get into it right off the bat. You say in your letter that me looking for my tiny mints in a fucking mall is the most privileged thing ever. And yet moments before that, you were talking about how you were cooking steak for your little dog. Your dog eats steak. Baked in the oven? So many questions about that. What the why are you baking steak? Who are you? Are you in the 1950s? Do you live? Are you in the UK in the 1950s? You're baking steak, you fucking weirdo. And I'm sorry to hear that your dog has diarrhea. I know how that goes. But man, bold choice to go right for a steak. Speaking of steaks, real name droppy with your new best fucking friend. I forget his name already. But I forgot. Thank you for reminding me what LA is like, you fucking Hollywood douchebag. Fucking telling me what TV shows your new best friend has been on. I'll tell you what, all right? You tell your best friend when I get back, 3 p.m. behind the school, I'm gonna beat his little Hollywood actor ass. And I say that having no idea who he is. And that I would probably like him a whole bunch. But you tell him 3 p.m. behind the school, all right? I'm going to fucking make him eat all the eggs. Whatever that means, all right? So that's number two, all right? Speaking of the way I talk on this podcast and the things that it doesn't get me is the last time I think I made a bold choice and doubled down on saying fuck a guy was when the DFA guy, the guy from DFA Records, emailed you and sent you a bunch of vinyl. And so then he messaged me, and I don't know if I told you this, but he messaged me and was like, oh, I didn't realize I'd caused a rift in you two by sending Joe some records. I'd love to send you some records too. So first off, I want to rub your fucking face in it. Fuck you. All right, DFA guy's going to send me records. But then I responded to him, and I had assumed that he had heard the podcast. And I was like, listen, there's going to be a few more episodes where I double down on telling you to go fuck yourself. but I would love some records. And I was like, you know, it's part of a bit. You know, I'd like to take a hard line stance. I think having a strong opinion is better than having a medium opinion. And yeah, he never responded, and I never got any records. So that's the way that works. So this bit where I'm threatening to fight your new famous friend might backfire on me as well. But you know what? I don't give a shit, 'cause I'm a bad boy. That's right, Kurt Brownoler, bad boy. All right, 'cause I got a new bad boy jacket. I'm gonna take a photo. I'm gonna text it to you. I got this fucking raw denim. Oh baby, raw denim made in Japan. Oh baby, it's a tight jacket. Physically and also just style-wise. It's snug. It's a snug jacket. But I've never owned a jean jacket in my whole life. And I recall you recently making fun of the way I dress, cause saying I looked German. And so now I got a cool guy bad boy jacket. And this is the new attitude. Get used to it. It's baller, all right? I got some bad boy energy in me up in Canada. I had to come to Canada to find out how much of a bad boy I am. Tell your friend I'm going to beat the shit out of him. All right? Good. Now, you know what? I don't want to make you jealous, because I'm not jealous about your new friend. I've got a new friend. Yeah. His name is Alex Rubens. And you know what? Since you're ready to fucking drop the IMDb of your best bud, this guy, how about, what did he do? Did he write the movie Keanu? Yeah, he did. With Jordan Peele. Did he work on Key and Peele? Yeah, he did. Did he work on Rick and Morty? Yeah, he did. Is he generally a very nice man who's very funny and interesting, very open? He's a very vulnerable man. We've been getting along. He's another writer. And now I got two buds who are writers on the movie because I was already friends with the first one, Albertina. We used to write together. But so yeah, I got a friend. Here's what I'll say. When I come back to LA, after this is all over, I say we have a double date. My new friend Alex and your new friend, whatever his name is, movie star man. All right? Or television star man. So see, I came around. See, bad boy, that's another aspect of the bad boy jacket, is I changed my mind a lot. Now, I don't want to fight your friend. I want to invite him out to dinner, all right? Also, I don't know if Alex would be comfortable with me saying his full name on the podcast and saying he's my friend. I'll have to tell him today when we go see Thor Ragnarok together, like friends do. All right? Also, speaking of seeing things, Stranger Things, you're right, it was good. I was talking into the microphone last week, having only watched the first three episodes, and I'll be upfront with you. I think the first three episodes, second season, Stranger Things, can go fucking fall on the ground, face first. No hands. All right? I think it's boring and nothing happens. And it's just like, I don't know how many times we have to see them go to the arcade. I get it. It's 1980. Move on. But then it really starts developing and I really got into it. I enjoyed it across the board. Also enjoyed Mindhunter. Probably already said that. Speaking of, since we're getting into things I enjoyed, I still want to respond to all your points, Joe. But I have to say this. Early on in the podcast, last night, I watched Patton Oswalt's Annihilation, and if you have not watched Patton Oswalt's brand new hour of stand-up comedy, titled Annihilation, go do it right now. It's on Netflix. Go do it, all right? Never have I seen it done that well. If you're a stand-up, or an aspiring stand-up, watch it and know that you're a terrible stand-up. Because that's all I could do. I basked in Patton Oswalt's glory, and I felt simultaneously in awe of him, and also that I have so far to go. I'm a little hatchling. He is an eagle. He is an eagle at the height of his eagleness. Biggest feathers, whatever the fuck eagles get when they get to be the biggest. And I don't know if you want to be big as an eagle. Maybe you want to be small, fast. But if being big as an eagle was a good thing and it meant like you're in the prime of your life and you're really very powerful, that's what Patton Oswalt is. And I am just a little, I'm just out of the shell. I essentially look like a little gray sock filled with tuna fish. And my eyes are still closed. I have like four testicle hairs all over me. That's me. All right. As far as stand-up goes, compared to Patton Oswalt's Annihilation, it is not only funny, not only insightful, not only fast and brilliant and clever, but it is sad in a way that is heartbreaking and beautiful and fucking hilarious. I now know that I've built this hour of comedy up so much that there is no way it could live up to it. But guess what? I don't care because I loved it that much. I've known Patton for a long time. Not like we're not best buds or anything like that. But I watched it and was like, I'm so happy he exists in the world. All right, it's amazing. I haven't seen an hour that good since Doug Stanhope's Beer Hall Putsch. And it deals with, you know, both of them deal with death. And I've been thinking a lot about death recently. So let's talk about death. Let's talk about death, baby. Let's talk about death, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the bad things that can happen to our bodies. We're all gonna die. And I recently found a so yesterday before I went to work, I like went for a run because I needed to do something. So I've gained like 15 pounds since I've been here. And it's not good, you know, just eating and drinking and not moving. So I went for a run, and it's fall. It's fall here. And I was listening to my headphones, and this song came on. Cymbals Eat Guitars? Is that the name of the band? Guitars Eat Cymbals? You know what I'm talking about. Good band. And it was a song that I used to listen to when I would take my dog for a walk in New Jersey when I was taking care of my mom when my mom was dying. And here I am running through the woods in a park called Mount Royal, beautiful park. And it's fall all around me. It's very cold out. And and I hadn't put it together that this is the only time that I've been in like a fall environment or a cold environment, northeast kind of, you know, changing of the leaves since my mom was very sick and I was taking care of her in Jersey. And I just lost it. I just kind of like broke down right there in the woods. And it was good to get it out. I also had it was recently the very close friend of mine's mother passed about a year ago. A few days ago, and that brought back a bunch of memories as well. And so, you know, it's been processing a lot of grief and thinking about grief and thinking about dying. And I think maybe that is also why Patton's Hour connected with me so well. He speaks about his wife's death so beautifully and so funnily, if that's a word, but. It's you gotta watch it, man. You just gotta check it out. And then I checked my. So then, yeah, I watched it last night. It's a little drunk, and then I checked my my voice memo here, and I'd left a voice memo for myself right before I went to sleep, which I did not remember this morning. I said in kind of like my drunken slur of. The same way that when you shave your beard, if you're a man, you know this. Maybe as a woman, when you shave something else. But when I shave my beard, I'll find little red hairs, like, up on ledges. Like, weird ledges. And I'm like, how the fuck did this little... Did a shaved beard hair get all the way up on this ledge that's, like, almost, like, equidistant or, like, you know, the same height as my fucking chin? And I'm always like finding weird hairs places, you know, and that is how death affects you. It's in the most surprising ways, and it shows up in the most unexpected places, like a run through Mount Royal in Montreal, triggered by a Cymbals Eat Guitars. I don't know if that's the name of the band, but it's a great song. Too bad can never listen to it. All right. Back to your message for me. Still crazy about this, that my tiny mints are privileged. I'm gonna let it go. All right? My Tiny Mints, I'm addicted to my Tiny Mints. I love them. I would say, as far as indulgences, tiny Altoid mints that cost $1.20 are very low on the level of luxury items I could have in my life. So go fuck yourself, Joe. And also, I want you to just be fully aware of how sad the sentence "space the errands out" is. It's deeply sad, Joe. And I was about to tell you that maybe you should never tell anyone that. But you know what? Fuck me. All right? I'm willing to turn this mirror back on myself. I'm happy you said it. I'm happy you said you consciously space the errands out. And I think that should be a bit. Because it's so sad, you need to make it into something funny. Because otherwise it's just going to be the saddest sentence you've ever said in your whole life. That you space errands out so that you just have something to look forward to the next day. Also, I was laughing so hard at the idea that you're an eternal bachelor, that you just want to inherit a family, and that my family is just sitting there going to waste. This is very, very funny. And yeah, go over, man. Go over. But see, here's the thing. It's like, you just go visit, but you're not going to be like Olive's dad. You're Olive's godfather. So you are part of the family, Joe. That's what I want you to know. You're already part of the family. You're the godfather, all right? So feel free to fucking act like a goddamn godfather, you piece of shit. Step up to your responsibility and start paying child support. I don't know if you knew this, that part of the godfather responsibility was to pay god money to the child. And when I say god money, I mean real money that she can spend with her little hands. So yeah, fucking go over there and drop off a grand for my daughter to fucking buy some toys. And she doesn't even really have much interest in toys at this point. She's mainly interested in staring at her hands and then chewing on her hands. Hey, and also, buddy, you know this thing about the McDonald's, that you couldn't even think of Wendy's? You know what? I'm going to say, if I got a choice on the road between McDonald's and a Wendy's, I think I'm going to the McDonald's. Maybe that's why we get along so well, all right? Because you're my McDonald's, all right? Nobody hates you, pal, all right? We all love you. And if you want to be a Wendy's or a Taco Bell, I'll go visit that too, all right? But don't be sad. Don't ever be sad that you're at McDonald's, all right? McDonald's are gathering points for communities. You know, people can always rally around at McDonald's, hang out, have meetings, get free Wi-Fi, use the bathroom. McDonald's is an oasis in often deserts of industrial landscapes. So please, be proud that you're a McDonald's, all right? Also, I'd like to refer to the fact that you said your traditional means of dying as to everybody else. I appreciate that there's a lot of traditional means of dying. Also, the fact that you were crying over Stranger Things. Get back into therapy, man. I say go for it. I mean, what do we do here on Emotional Hangs if not encourage talking about feelings? And I feel like you might be in a place right now where you could just use an ear to chat to, especially since, you know, I'm not around. I mean, I know you got all these, your best fucking friend now, Mr. TV. But, you know, I think, why don't you go for it, you know? And I think that is pretty much all I really wanted to say. I did want to say this, and it's a joke that I thought of recently, and then I really like it. And I thought you would appreciate it. Now, I'm not just doing a bit to do a bit, but I was recently eating some squid ink pasta. And started thinking about, first off, delicious, delicious. But I started thinking about, like, the fucking guy who invented squid ink pasta, like the first person who was just like, well, we've made a delicious spaghetti sauce out of the physical manifestation of fear of this animal. God damn it. The physical manifestation of fear. Oh, out of, wow. We've made a, here's the line. I already ruined it, but I want to get it right, just for the record. We've made a delicious spaghetti sauce out of this animal's, there we go. Here we go. We've made a delicious spaghetti sauce out of the physical manifestation of this animal's fear. Boom. There it is. Once I get that tight, tight, tight as my bad boy jacket, that's going to be a killer bit. All right, buddy. I love you. I miss you. Hope to see you soon. T-Day weekend's coming up. See you then. Oh, and one last thing. I have to apologize to all the softies out there. It is my fault. My fault and my fault only. That emotional hangs will not be a come and take it fest. I'm shooting that weekend now for the movie, and they're not releasing me. And so I had to cancel, and I feel terrible about it. To the guys that come and take it, you know, I love you guys. I love what you're doing. I love the Secret Project, and I wish I could be there, Houston. But you guys won the World Series, so hopefully the whole city feels there's a general glow about you at this point, and you're not going to miss one middling comedian. But guys, sorry about that. We will do another live emotional hang soon. We'll figure it out. Also, I would like Joe to note that this is 22 minutes. I'll go fuck yourself.